Hey, welcome to Younger and Older. This is Jason and Dave hanging out at the studios at Silver Birch Ranch in the North Woods of Wisconsin, enjoying another day in the springtime as we ramp up towards summer. It's a time of year. I was just talking to one of my coworkers in the office before I came over to film this, and it's a time of year where my brain turns into like a spider web.
It is, yep.
Because, and maybe it is for
sticky.
People all the time.
It's
but
sticky.
But the sticky, you know, where it's like random thoughts pop in my head. I'm like, oh yeah, that needs to be done. Or, oh, yeah, that needs to be done. And they're totally unrelated. But because summer's, you know, less than 50 days away for us, there's just things that need to happen.
Absolutely.
But thankfully, we have a spring this year, meaning that the snow is already gone in northern Wisconsin.
We do.
I mean, usually spring, you know, I think last year it landed on a Saturday.
Yeah. But you do know that I heard this morning that tomorrow in northern Wisconsin, north of us, they're getting snow.
Oh, I believe it. I've seen snow fly in May here.
Yep.
So I've talked to my wife, I'm like, I know, I just take it a day at a time.
You do know
the
latest I ever cross-country skied up here is May 1st.
Really?
Yeah, and I did cross-country ski on May 1st.
Wow. That's
so impressive. We've had snow in years past that has just lingered.
Yeah.
And we've had times where the opening of fishing season, there was ice on the lake.
Oh, I do remember that. And I feel like even at our spring men's retreat, which is also coming up,
yeah,
that we've had snow at.
Yeah, we have. And we've also had ice on the lake, so people couldn't fish. And that's opening weekend normally.
Yeah, yep. That's so funny.
Yeah, you know, the one thing none of us control is the weather. I think God did that on purpose. Even with all the meteorologists telling us what's coming, like how often are they right?
I know, oftentimes, especially at camp during the summertime, we try to plan a day,
right,
you know, activity-wise based around the weather. And, like, I honestly feel like I have the capability of being able to predict the weather.
Yeah, I think you do. Do you have a bunion?
What's a bunion?
On your toe. Sometimes they hurt when it's going to rain.
I don't, to my knowledge, have a bunion.
Yeah, well, go find someone who does.
I've heard of Paul Bunyan.
Go find someone that does and ask them when it hurts and it'll rain.
Excuse me, do you have a bunion?
Yeah. Well, just one of those scientific things, you know. That everybody knows about.
Right. Well, I know people with arthritis usually feel it or
well,
something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you just got to find someone with an ailment and ask them, is it going to rain? And
I just go and lick the finger and stick it up in the air.
You know, it is kind of interesting that so much of our world is really dependent on the weather and what's going on.
Yeah.
We can't predict it.
Right.
People do to the best of their ability, but even the best of their ability falls short.
Yeah,
and it's almost as if God says, oh, you think it's going to be nice? He blows a few clouds over your way or something, and it's like, here's what I thought. So when it is a sunny, nice day, enjoy it. And I think there's no better place. The seasons are great here at Silver Birch Ranch. Spring is just short.
It is, yeah. Very short.
In fact, I never even thought we had spring. I think there's three seasons here, yeah. Really. There's.
However, this year.
We do.
Is the oddity.
It
seems
is.
Like we do have a spring, which is fine. I'll take it. I'm not complaining. I'm enjoying it. And that's something to enjoy. So, but, you know, we on last episode, and if you missed it, you know, we talked a conversation about becoming a new creation, being part of a family. You know, mm-hmm. We're born physically into a family with whatever that looks like. But then when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, Him taking the punishment of our sin for us, that's when we become born again, or we go through a second birth spiritually, in
right.
essence, and we're part of God's family. And we talked about some of the kind of implications that has, and we covered that in the previous episode. But with any conversation, it gets cut short, so we want to kind of pick up where we left off, Dave. And
yeah.
And I think one of the things that I enjoy about the imagery of that is I'm a practical person. So even when I talk, I try to always use examples and things. Why? Because I'm practical, you know, like if you give me information, I need to do something with it.
Right.
Sort of practical. And that's why I love Paul in the New Testament, because he comes across to me not only as like a smart dude, but also practical.
Right.
You know, and so he repeats himself quite a bit. But even in his imagery, he's very direct. And so.
So Paul is who again?
Paul is a guy in the New Testament that used to actually be named Saul, and actually persecuted Jesus followers.
Okay.
And then he had an experience with God and became a Jesus follower.
Like we talked about last time.
Like we talked about last time. Yep. So he became born again and actually went on to play a huge part in the early church and wrote, what, half of the New Testament?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's who Paul is.
Okay.
Yep. For those listening, if you didn't know that. And another great resource, we talked about a resource in the last episode called gotquestions.org.
Right.
You know, if you have any questions. Another great resource I just want to throw out to you, if you don't know it, especially for those that are more on YouTube than anything or whatever, or more video-based, is Bible Project.
Okay.
I don't know if you've ever been exposed to Bible
Project. You know, I have, but you just type in Bible Project? And
yeah, they either have their website, you can go to BibleProject.org maybe, or you just... you know, in the search bar on YouTube, just type Bible Project and they do an intro to like every book of the Bible overview, which is really good and helpful. But then they kind of cover themes throughout scripture, but they do it in a way that's very simply but visually based. And so if you're a visual learner, it's a great way to do that. And if you're not a visual learner, you can just sit there and listen to it either way. But it's another great resource that helps you see the big picture of each book and how it relates to the rest of the themes of scripture. And all that. So just throwing that out there.
So do you use a Bible on a computer?
I don't most of the time. Okay. I like the using a physical Bible, and that's for multiple reasons. I prefer things, like even when I read books, I prefer physical copies. But especially my Bible, I want it to be very clear, especially to my three boys, that I'm reading my Bible.
Right.
One thing that I've noticed, and I think we all notice in culture today, is the amount of screen time that we have. And that's one thing that as parents are trying to be mindful of, knowing that the negative impacts of screen time. And even here at camp, we've talked about how we're taking implications to try to help that. But when it comes to reading my Bible, I want to make sure that my boys know, like, he's reading his Bible. You know, yes, it's easy to pull it up on my app and do all that sort of stuff. And I'm not saying it's wrong to do that. I just want to try to help instill with my boys, like when they see me doing it, they don't just be like, oh, he's on his phone. I want them to be like, oh, okay, he's reading his Bible.
Right.
Because I think that's important.
Yeah.
Now, if I'm at, you know, in a place where I'm not around them, I might do some research via my computer or watch a video. But when I'm doing my, like, intentional time, you know, because I would say that there's different times of study for me. And I think this is good and even kind of goes into our discussion as you become a Jesus follower. I think it's important to grow in your knowledge of who God is. And I think there's multiple components to what that looks like. I think there is importance where you need to go and be alone and do that. That way you could take away all the distractions.
Right.
Even when I talk about reading in front of my boys, yes, it's chaos. Like if you've ever had three boys at home and you're trying to read, like, it's just like you get through a page. It's like, did I actually just read something or not?
Yep.
And I'm aware of that. So that's, I do that in a way because yes, I want to read the Bible and I am learning in that time. And I also want to model that, but I also supplement that at a different time when I can be alone.
Right.
And so if you're watching or listening, I just encourage you to be intentional. I read a book recently. And one of the things that the author highlighted was the difference between devotions and devotion.
Yep.
And it's a play on words. You know, oftentimes as Christians, we talk about having devotions, you know, and we try to do it, come up with methods versus having devotion.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that comes as we talk about being part of God's family is we have a devotion to the family of God.
Right.
We have a devotion to God. And so we have a devotion. That means it takes intentionality for that to happen versus just devotion's the act of it. And so I encourage you, as you look at your time with God, and as you grow in your own walk with God, look at it in a way of like, all right, I'm part of this family. It's part of my responsibility to learn and to grow as part of this family versus I need to check off a box today and do my devotions.
Yeah.
You know, it's a simple play on words, but I think for some of us, it might be the reasoning that helps us look at it better and more intentionally.
Yeah. Now, there are different versions of the Bible.
There are. Yep.
Can you explain what I just said?
Yeah.
So if somebody comes and says, well, the Bible says different things in different versions, so they don't trust it. Can you help? If somebody's listening, they're younger, they're maybe a new believer, and they're going, wow, there's all these different Bibles. Which version do you use, and what am I talking about?
Yeah, so the Bible was written in Jesus after Jesus' time, and so there's a different language. So there's Hebrew, Greek, Aramaic. Those kind of are the three main languages that when we look back to original text. And so over time, to make sure it's accurate, they translate the original text that we have into, in our language, we speak English.
So the Bible wasn't written in English?
No, it was not.
Okay, so that's clear.
That's clear.
It is a translation from another language.
Yes, and so when you talk about different versions, it's really different translations. And it's not like they're drastically different. They just take different steps. And so there's what we call literal translations, where they take word for word more literally, like here's what it says. Now, if you ever have studied a different language, whether it be Spanish, French, whatever it is, you'll understand that there's different cultural nuances that when you translate it, sometimes don't come across right. all the way if you were to go literally. And so depending on the American or the English versions that we have, some of them take steps to help understanding more. You know, and so you have your literal versions, whether it be like a NASB or an ESV, English Standard Version okay. or a New American Standard Bible. Those tend to be two versions that are more literal based. And then you have some that take a translation step. So they say, all right, we're going to try to summarize this concept for you. And so the translators there are actually
thought for thought kind of
taking
thing.
A thought for thought and taking a translation, trying to help gain understanding. And so that's where you fall into like a New Living Translation, things like that. Some of the youth Bibles out there, you know, that's where those would fall into. And they're not bad. They're all saying, you know, they're all taking it from the original text and translating it. It's just they're trying to help understand more and give you words that you're more used to versus big words that, you know, as an everyday person might not understand. And, if, you know, like propitiation,
right,
things like that. And then there's some that take it even further and summarize it in their own words. And so that would be like the Message, where it's not like a specific translation. It's like you have an author that has taken it and put in their own words what they think it means.
Okay, now you mentioned a lot of Bibles. You didn't mention a King James Bible. Is that, what is that?
So that's another version as well. And so that would fall into the category. It uses older ways that we used to talk, these, thous, those.
Okay.
And so that was an earlier English version.
The way we don't talk actually anymore.
But it's just not a way that it's not words that we use anymore. And so that would fall in the category of a more literal based. It just uses language that is outdated for our modern context. Right. You know, we don't say, thou art so good looking, Dave.
Oh.
Actually, I don't know.
Thank youist.
Yeah. It just takes some of the language and you know, so it's not that it's bad.
Right.
You know, here's what I say. Any modern day English version, if you're reading it, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
Find one that you can understand and read and that you enjoy and read it.
Right.
And
some might disagree with me on that. But to me, if you're reading the Bible, hey, that's a step in the right direction. And the more you grow, you know, I would say that maybe vary the translation. You know, for many years, I was reading the NASB and the ESV. And recently, I'm like, you know what? Just to change it up, I'm going to read the NLT.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not that for me, it's just helping to see it through a different lens because one of the things I learned as I've studied the Bible is there's always more to learn.
Yeah.
You know, no matter how many times you read the same verses, the same passage, hear the same story, it's almost as if, you know, God or really the Holy Spirit says, hey, look at this time, you know? And so for me, if you look at different versions, sometimes it helps you see something that you might not have seen. So that's,
yeah. You know, too, I would encourage you if you need to, you're working in the backyard or doing something, listen to the Bible.
Yeah.
You can do that too.
Yeah.
I mean, instead of just listening to music or it doesn't go anywhere, you might be listening to good music. I understand that. But if you're just wasting time and you need something in your ears, there are so many ways that you can listen to the Bible be read. It can be done with dramatic. I mean, the other day I had one up and I was listening to it on my phone and asked me, do you want music in the background with this or no music in the background with this? And there's so many options.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the most important things I have done in my life is read the Bible through every year of my life.
Yeah.
Well, I should say for the last 35 years anyway.
Yeah.
I've read the Bible through every year. And that means read, listen. A lot of times, I'm working on my second time this year.
Mm-hmm.
In my second time through, I'm listening to a translation that I just haven't listened to before. And it combines, I think it is because I keep hearing it, like this book and then some Psalms to go with that one. And then, so it's not just right in a row. It's putting like historical context into place, which is interesting for me. But I think one of the most important things I've done in life is to take the scriptures, read them every year, read it through every year, so I know what God says. And when I speak to people, I actually know what the Bible says. And I'm not talking about something I'm wishing about or hoping it says. I actually know what it says.
Right.
And so I want to speak from that vantage point.
And it's not only from that. It's like even some people just aren't readers
right.
anymore. And so you can listen to it.
Right.
You know, and I even know that there's some ministries that are trying to put visuals to it while they read it. I think there was some conference you were at where they were trying to you know, to do that, you know, because technology is nowadays where it's like, let's take something because it's important and try to get it to whatever way learning style that you have. Cause I get it. Like sometimes reading for people is difficult.
Right.
So listen to it.
Yeah. You know, there's a guy I know that listens to the Bible, but while he listens to it, he reads it.
Yeah. Follows along.
So he just follows it. Right. And he said, boy, the comprehension is so much greater for me.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, good for you. I think that wouldn't work for me, the way my brain is wired. I need to do one or the other.
Right.
And I'm fine with one or the other, so I'm not going to combine them.
Oh, totally. Well, and it's just like when you say, Dave, when you're working, you can listen to the Bible. Right. I've tried that. It's like noise in the background to me.
Yeah.
I can't focus on it.
Yep.
Because that's the way that I'm wired, is I can't do that. Whereas I like to read or I like to watch.
Yeah.
You know, I'm more of that visual person where I just have to see it.
So we're all different.
Yeah.
But really, in this day and age, especially in the United States of America, there's no reason you shouldn't know God and where you shouldn't be in the Bible. And if you hear people say, well, there's different versions, it's so confusing. I think you just gave us an explanation. It's not really confusing.
Mm-hmm.
It is different versions. And,
right.
And rightfully so. As language evolves, there's going to be more translations.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's not bad. Here's some that I would suggest. If you're going to have some Bibles electronically, here's some that I like. I like the eSword.
eSword. Is that an app?
eSword. It's an app.
It's an app. Okay.
And the reason I like eSword is it if it's a PC, I think you can get it free. I think if it's a Mac-based, it costs $25 one time or something. And it just gives you a lot of tools that are free. My favorite commentary is in there, and it's free. And
And what's a commentary, Dave?
A commentary is where people who have studied the Bible all their lives comment on the verses.
So it's somebody like you, if you were to write down your thoughts
right.
on a verse, that would be you commentating on
right.
it, talking about
right.
it.
Right. And, okay. and people like myself, we do that all the time. I mean, I have right now a thought that goes out, a thought for the day that goes out, and all it is a Bible verse and some thoughts that go with it. That's a commentary.
Kind okay. of.
You're going with it. You're not writing Scripture. You're not adding to Scripture. You're just commenting
yeah.
on Scripture. So the Biblical Illustrator is one of my favorite ones, and that's free with eSword. The Biblical Illustrator is, you have to want to read a little bit in that one, but I like that resource because what it does is it allows me to go and see what some of the old-time preachers said about that passage.
Okay.
So I can see what Charles Spurgeon said, or I can see what Tozer said, or I can see what some of the older preachers said about it, and it's in the Biblical Illustrator. I'm not sure. Tozer might be too modern. So it is Spurgeon and Moody and some of those that are in there.
Okay.
And really, all the Bible programs usually have commentaries with them. I mean, I like using the Moody Bible Institute Bible Commentary, Moody Bible Commentary, I think
yep.
it's called. I like using the Biblical Illustrator, which I just mentioned. And there are others that people like. And if you know somebody that studies God's Word, ask them, what commentaries do you like to read and why? And you can have that. We already mentioned gotquestions.org to you is a resource. Honestly, if you're studying the Bible, let's say you're in a Bible and there's books in this Bible that aren't in this other Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And we won't get into that today.
Right.
But let's say that, boy, this Bible only has 66 books or whatever. This Bible has 84 books or whatever.
Yeah.
What's the difference?
Mm-hmm.
That's where I would go to gotquestions.org.
Sure.
And yep. type that in.
Yep.
And that would explain to you what the difference is there, because a talk program like this, we could do that. We'd spend our whole time trying to figure out that for you. But gotquestions.org is something I love to use for that particular thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there are different resources, and in the United States of America, I don't think we'll ever be in a spot where you're not going to have Bibles around that you can get, especially in every home. I have so many copies of paper copies of the Bible.
Right.
And then I have all the electronic copies. It's like I am totally surrounded
mm-hmm.
by the Bible. And I think that's a good thing, not a bad thing.
Right. And so, I would say, you know, one other thing, you know, first of all, get in the Bible, whatever it is. And I don't say that, like, there's not like a certain formula. Like, if you're in it, you're in it. That's great. It doesn't matter if it's one verse that you're reading
right.
or reading through the Bible. Like you said, I've been reading through the Bible, which is awesome. If that's something that you can accomplish, go for it. But if that's out of your league, don't just throw up your arms and give up. You know, focus on, you know, small chunks and do it that way. And if you have read through the same Bible so many times, you know, so I noticed like for a long time I had the same Bible, and so I'd take notes in it. And oftentimes when I'd reread it, my eyes would go to the things I already learned. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, I'm just going to get a fresh Bible. That way I can learn new things and restart over. And so maybe you're at that point, you know, maybe you don't want to give up that well-worn Bible, but do ways where you can challenge yourself and think. And what God wants to teach you. Because the amazing thing is every time, you know, and I've even been challenged by Dave and even your brother. It's like, you guys have been doing this for so many more years than me, and you're still learning.
Yeah.
And you still see things. Like, I remember talking to your brother, Dave, around Christmas time, because he's always up here right after Christmas.
Great.
And he's like, hey, and he shared with me, he read a very familiar story about Daniel and praying. He's like, I learned this. He's like, I've never seen this before.
Yep.
You know, he just observed something different. It was like a 5-word phrase. He's like, I've skimmed over it. But he's like, wow. You know, and it's those little things that God just, depending on our stage of life, shows us and teaches us when we need to hear it. And that's the amazing thing.
Yeah.
And it's not that it changes. It's always there. We just see it differently through a different lens. Yeah.
I encourage you, when you're in the Bible, ask yourself questions.
Yeah.
There's a couple ways. First of all, I want to challenge everyone that's listening. Take 15 minutes a day and read the Bible for 15 minutes. If you're not into the Bible right now and you're not doing anything, put aside 15 minutes where you can read it.
Yeah.
And if you would do that every day, you write me after a year if you've done it every day and tell me how far you got through the Bible. Just read 15 minutes a day. And I'm not asking you for an overly crazy commitment on that. Just 15 minutes and read it and see how far you get. Now, there might be some books that you struggle in, and that's okay. You're going to get into Leviticus and Numbers. There's going to be a lot of numbers in there. You just read them. Just keep reading them. And as Jason said, down the road, you read it once, you read it twice, you get back there, all of a sudden you're reading something and you're saying, wow. I do a daily devotional that goes through where I read through the Bible and I just put down a thought process on it called Thought for the Day. Mm-hmm. And I started in Genesis. So far, I'm going to have it all written down. So one thought a day. And I think we're through Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges. I finished Ruth. I think I'll have 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st, 2nd Kings in there as well. And those are just thoughts. Now, those are some of the tougher books to just read through.
Yes, yes.
So down the road, if you want to see how somebody reads them and gets anything out of it,
mm-hmm.
that'll be available.
Yeah.
But right now, it's like, no, just read it. You don't have to have a profound thought on everything that you do. And spend 15 minutes a day and see how far you get in a year.
Yeah.
Now, if you miss a day, spend a half hour the next day. I'm trying to challenge you to 15 minutes a day.
Mm-hmm.
So see if you can get that done. The other thing I would challenge you to do is when you read the Bible, there's two different ways you're doing it. When I read the Bible through or listen through, I'm just trying to get the context. I'm listening, reading it through. I'm not trying to memorize it at that point. I'm not trying to stop every 10 minutes because something strikes me. I'm just trying to get the context of the whole.
Yeah.
Okay, that's one purpose of reading. Mm-hmm. I also read real slow, where I would just stop anytime I want to. This is my more devotional time. And I'll ask a question. For example, if I'm reading about in Daniel about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I'm going to stop.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to stop and say, really? Why did you guys not bow?
Mm-hmm.
What did you know that stopped you from bowing?
Yeah.
Did you know that you weren't going to really burn in the furnace? And of course, when I look at it, I go, no, you didn't know that. So it wasn't that you were going to be rescued from the fire that made you do that. So I would stop, and sometimes I would just spend quite a bit of time wrestling with that in my head. Like, what did you know? I want to know what you knew.
Yep.
And so then you get on to the couple chapters later, and you see Daniel getting thrown in the lions, and you go, okay, you could have done this differently. You didn't have to open the windows and pray. What did you know that caused you to do this? Or Noah in the book of Genesis. So you go back there, and you say, you know, God told you to build a boat in a mountain.
Mm-hmm.
You did. People had to make fun of you with this thing. And what did you know?
Yeah.
So one of my favorite questions is that. I want to know what Noah knew, what Abraham knew. I want to know what Elijah knew, what Elisha knew. And it's not always written down like, here's what they knew
mm-hmm.
in that format. But if you look at their lives in those stories, you begin to realize this is who they knew God.
Yeah.
And they knew God. They trusted God. They were going to do what's right no matter what. And when you know God and you do what's right, you're often in a position of impossibility. That mm-hmm. that just happens.
Right.
And so when you read the Bible, it's not a religious exercise where you say, I read all this, I read the Bible. You know, two ways that I encourage you to read it. Number one, read it just to get the context. Just read it.
Yeah.
Number two, read it and stop whenever you have a question and just either write the question down or sit there and ponder it.
Right.
And that's very helpful. So those are two very practical things you can work on. And again, you get a question that you can't find someone to give you an answer to, and it's always better to talk to somebody who's older than you or somebody who's been in the Bible more than you to just talk about it. But if not, go to questions.org.
Right. And I would even say, like, as you ponder those things, that's where you bring, you know, talking to God into it.
You know,
say, God, you know, like, these guys knew something. God, what is it that I need to know about you that these guys knew that I don't know? You know, and I think the more that you include prayer in your life, because prayer, I think, goes hand in hand. You know, when we talk about getting to know God.
And you made it sound like it's just natural talking.
Right. Absolutely. And that's all it is. And I think the way the Holy Spirit moves then is he guides your thoughts. And it might not be like on there on the moment sort of thing, but I think he'll start to show you different things and point out different things in Scripture or prompt you in a way that convicts you. It's like, all right, so if these three guys knew that they could trust me and that there even still was a chance that they might die in the fiery furnace, and yet they still decided to trust me, then God, I can trust you. And maybe that's the thing that I need to learn. So God, help me to trust you in a way that when I face something like they were willing to die, like, right. Can I trust you like that? God, help me to trust you like that. Like, that's the conversation that you have.
Yeah, and I wondered, when I was thinking that through, the same thing, I was wondering, how many of the people that were there knew that they shouldn't bow, but they did?
Yeah.
And after Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego got out of the furnace, what did they think?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, man. You know, picture it. For the rest of their lives, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego got to tell their children, their grandchildren. Well, they were eunuchs, so I don't think they had any children, but... they were able to tell the next generations.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, this is what happened.
Right, right.
And we weren't, the others were going, I missed out.
Right, absolutely.
What you missed out on is trusting God.
Yeah.
So that's what the Bible can do. It can start getting you in a position where you really understand those things.
Absolutely. And so if you were looking to grow in your relationship with God, it has to start with you spending time in Scripture, spending time with God. And like I said, it could be 5 minutes to start, 10 minutes to start. And if you need reminders or if you need somewhere to go or reading plan, there's so much out there, so many different apps, whether you go to the Bible app, whether you go to Bible Project has some stuff. There's the Read Scripture app. There's so many things. So I encourage you to go do something, whatever works for you to help you get in the Word to learn, go and do it. Unfortunately, we're out of time here on this episode of Younger or Older. If this is something that's challenging you, I encourage you to go back, re-listen to it, share it with a friend. But for now, this is Jason and Dave. We'll take care. See you next time. Bye-bye.